Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of John, chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 again as I reread this for reiteration's sake. And then tonight I'm going to speak on when the night cometh. I want you to notice the phrase in verse 4 as we read along here for emphasis. Here's what it says. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Now watch this. The night cometh. The night cometh. The night cometh. Now the night's going to come. We don't know when the night's going to come, but we know the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in this world, testimony should be our testimony. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so it is tonight as I speak on when the night cometh. There's going to be a day when you and I will not be able to do the work of God that we have before us this very hour. There's going to be a day. There's four different times that I like to bring to your attention about when the night cometh. Three of those times you will face in your life. And I want us to draw our attention. I don't know at what age it will be when I take my last step on earth. I'm not sure about that. I don't know when I'll take my last breath. I'm not sure. I enjoy pastoring. I enjoy serving God. I enjoy using what little influence I have around the nation and in other countries to train pastors and to train soul winners. That's in my blood. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy, of course, traveling and preaching in churches around America and try to strengthen churches around America. I enjoy that. I've had the privilege to see several hundred thousands of people come to know Christ as Savior without any exaggeration. I like to see at least 1 million people come to know Christ as Savior in my lifetime. That's a little goal that I have in my life to be able to see as I travel different countries and preach the gospel. I'd like to see that. I really would. I'd like to see me be able to live to my mid-90s. And to be able to effectively serve Christ as Savior. I like to pastor the church here, Parkside Baptist Church, until I'm in my mid-70s or so, maybe even 80s if God permits and God gives me strength. I'll not overstay my welcome, I promise you that. If I ever get to a point and to a place where I feel like I'm more of a burden to the church than I am a help to the church, I'll gladly step aside. But until I've got that point in my life, I want to give it my very best. I think that Parkside Baptist Church has the ability to do much greater than it does today. I think that there needs to be a day when we don't see that the pews are pleasantly filling up on a Sunday morning, but we ought to see them pleasantly filling up, yea, even overfilling in every service that we have. And I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing what God does. Last week on Sunday, I said that I celebrated 40 years in preaching the Bible. In 40 years, I did some research on it and traveling America and other countries around the world and preaching over 40 years. I did some research on this the other week when I was preparing for this message. I have had the privilege to preach in Bible colleges and Bible clubs, Vacation Bible schools, youth camps, Christian schools, on the radio, in the youth conferences, and Christian, of course, colleges and their chapels, open-air meetings, several leprosy colonies, several AIDS colonies that you would find in other countries. Had the privilege to preach in hospitals as hospitals would open up and they would bring the sick into a room and I would preach. And many times we'd be able to do that in other countries where I would go in and say I'd like to be able to have a gathering and they would bring the hospital beds in and they would put them in a round circle and I'd have the privilege to preach to those dear people. And then in destitute villages, traveling out where not even a Jeep could go, where we would go as far as a Jeep would take us, and then we'd get out and we'd walk several miles into a destitute village to be able to preach the gospel. Those things I enjoy, preaching in public schools, not just here, but different places around the world, on campuses, and many, many prisons around the world. I've been able to put my foot down and to preach the gospel at secular colleges as well. And then, of course, in police camps and military camps I've been able to preach at. Preaching now, of course, as of last Sunday, 11,412 times have I opened my Bible and preached a message somewhere. I like to be able to, before I lay down my Bible one day from preaching, I like to be able to say I've preached at least 20,000 times in some place around America or in other countries around the world. I've had the privilege, I have in one of my New Testaments, now two of my New Testaments that I record names, 3,462 names of young people and adults that's walked an aisle somewhere and surrendered to full-time Christian service. And it's been a wonderful blessing to watch these young people respond. But as I enter into different phases of my life, I think about you as well. And I think that the Bible talks about several different times, I believe that we could say, the night cometh. And this is when you're young, and this is when you're middle age, and this is when you're old as well. And so I want to give you some of those to think about tonight. Statement number one, the night cometh at the deliverance of the saints. We call that the rapture. The night cometh at the deliverance of the saints. Now you say, but that's a bright day. Oh yeah, but you'll be gone. And so for some people, it's going to be a night that comes. In other words, there will be a day in your life and in my life where you will actually work your last bus route. There will be a day that you will pass out your last gospel tract. There will be a day when you talk to somebody for the last time in giving them the gospel through your lips. There will be a day when you teach your last Bible club. There will be a day when you teach your last Sunday school class. There will be a day when you sing the last time in a choir or in a group somewhere, or yes, as a soloist. There's going to be a day when you work in the nursery for the very last time. There's going to be a day when you play in the orchestra for the very last time. There's going to be a day when you are an usher for the very last time. On this earth, there's going to be that day. There's going to be a day when you clean the church for the very last time. It'll be a day. There will be a day when you work with young people for the very last time. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Mark, chapter 13, and verse 32. The Bible says Jesus said, it says of that day, talking about, if you will please, the rapture of that day, and it says an hour, no man, listen to it, knoweth no man. No, not the angels, listen to it, which are in heaven, neither the Son, capital S talking about the Son of God. He does not know. The Son of God himself does not know when the rapture will take place. But, the Bible says, the Father. All right, now wait a minute. If the angels in heaven do not know when the rapture is going to take place, listen to me now, I'm going somewhere, and the Son of God does not know when the rapture is going to take place, then how in the world do some of these date setters think they know when the rapture is going to take place? Now I'm going to tell you, anybody that's a date setter that says, well, the rapture is going to take place on this day at this time, now listen to these strong words, they are a liar. They are a liar. Because the Bible says that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. All right? So don't ever get caught up with these people that say, well, I'll tell you what, the rapture is going to take place on this day. It's going to take place at this hour. Oh, no, 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 no. That's a false prophet. That's a false prophet. Now, we understand this, that the night's going to come at the deliverance of the saints when the rapture takes place. Did you know that you and I that are saved, you and I that's been washed in the blood, you and I that have our names written in the book of life, you and I that have everlasting life through Christ Jesus, you and I will be gone. Do you understand that people are going to have an horrific time of trying to figure things out? I believe people are going to run to the church house, and they're going to run to your house. They're going to try and figure out where in the world did she go? Where did he go? All right? And there is going to be a night that cometh during the rapture time. Are you listening to me? That people are going to be distraught. But now, wait a minute. It's going to be like the night in your life. Oh, you'll be raptured out. You'll be ushered into the arms of God. You'll be ushered into that which is the presence of heaven. But the night's going to come as you will not be able again. You will not be able again to pass out another gospel tract. It'll be done. It'll be over. You're not going to pass out gospel tracts in heaven. You're not going to witness to a neighbor in heaven. You're not going to witness to a friend in heaven. You have this time and this time only to fulfill the Great Commission through the local church, and yay, your responsibility is a personal soul winner. Those that live in your trailer park, if you don't witness to them and the rapture takes place, you'll never again have a chance. Those that are your neighbors and those that are your friends, those that are your blood kin, if the rapture takes place, you're gone, but they're not. And you'll never again have a chance to witness to them and give them the good news of Jesus Christ. That little boy that lives down the street, that little girl that lives down the street, you'll never again have an opportunity to be able to give them the gospel. Oh, yes, I know that we're comfortable in our living, but can I tell you, you ought to get uncomfortable in your living if you're not doing your job in giving out the gospel of Christ. Now, when I say tonight, the night cometh at the deliverance of the saints, that's talking about the gospel. Statement number two, the night cometh at death. The night cometh at death. So it might not be at the rapture. Maybe you die before the rapture. But when you die, can I tell you that you'll not be able to do your response? One of our young ladies that sits here tonight, we were fellowshipping a little bit, and she's studying to be a nurse. And she said, you know, preacher, she said, you know, I'm not seeing anybody die yet. She said, I'm going to have to see somebody die. I just have to be able to do that. You know, can I tell you that every nurse is going to go through that. Every doctor is going to go through that. Every preacher goes through that. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've stood beside the bed of somebody that takes their last breath. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've gone through that as a preacher. I've conducted close to 40 weddings here at Parkside Baptist Church, and can I tell you, I've conducted many funerals here as well. And can I say that it is not pleasant to see somebody that dies and takes their last breath. Now, but someday, it's going to be true. That verse comes to truth in your life, where the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So God, as I've expressed so many times before here, has a time when you and I are going to take our last breath. There's going to be a time, now I don't know about you, but when I take my last breath, I'll be honest with you, I like to do it the coward way. I like to go home to meet the Lord in my sleep. I've read about saints that do that, you know. I mean, they close their eyes and they wake up in glory. That's me. I vote for that one. It used to be, I used to say this when I was a younger preacher. I'd say this, and it sounded very heroic. It really did. I said, now, one day I'd like to be up preaching. One day I'd like to be up preaching, and I just like to drop dead of a heart attack while I'm preaching. I take that back. I don't want that. You say, well, you know, that would be something for people to remember. Yeah, and some little kid will remember that too and say, I remember a pastor dying when I was in church and I don't want to go to church no more because he died right there and I loved him. I don't want that. I like to die in private. I like to close my eyes and my dear wife go to wake me up and I'm not able to get up and she says, huh, I know where he's at. He's in heaven. And then she goes and fix her breakfast and follows the rest of the day. And it probably won't happen that way, but you know, hey, I'm just saying. But I'd like to go home to be with the Lord. Just kind of, if you would please, just be asleep at night and then wake up in heaven. That'd be the absolute great way to go. Now, but I don't know. I know that people that die from heart disease. I know from people that die of cancer. I know people that die because they have brain tumors. I know people that die because they have strokes, organ failure. I know people that die because they're in plane crashes. Now, I'll tell you, the worst way in all the world that I think I would want to die is in plane crashes. Matter of fact, I've done research on it because I fly on some planes. And I have picked out the seat almost every time that I can get on a plane. If I can get on the plane at the right time, the seat that is in the least amount of danger if we were to get into a crash. See, why do you do that? Because I'd still like to survive. I may survive without a hand, but I'd still survive. Now, may I say this? I'm saying that some people die in plane crashes. Some people die in gunfire. Gunfire. Never will forget, I was preaching on the south side of Philadelphia. years ago at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I was soul winning. It was a Friday evening, and I was preaching there for the weekend or whatever, and I was out soul winning, and I never will forget, I heard gunfire. It sounded like pop, 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 and so I heard people yelling and screaming, and I was soul winning on one street, and so it just got my curiosity up, and so I went over to the next street, and there lay dead a 12-year-old little boy, drive-by shooting. Somebody drove by and shot the boy. Probably the boy didn't have anything to do with the people and drove by and shot the boy. He was still jerking, but had pretty much gone on to heaven. Now, can I tell you this? There are people that die because of gunfire. There's people that die because of bombings. There's people that die because of war. Some people die because of poison. No, I'm not giving you insight to don't kill your husband by poison. Some people die because of operations. Some people die because of car wrecks. Car wrecks. I think there's more car wrecks in the Dallas Metro, probably, than any other city I've ever seen. It's been incredible to me to live in the Dallas Metro area, or if you would please to drive in the Dallas Metro area and to see people drive the way they drive. I don't think they have a license. How could they get a license driving the way they drive? I think it's crazy. I think it's insane. The other day I was driving home, minding my own business. I was doing the speed limit, minding my own business. This guy pulled up behind me and he laid on the horn. I thought maybe he knew me, so I waved. He pulled out around me and sped off. And I watched him. He picked up that speed, and he picked it up so quickly he almost lost control of his vehicle. Matter of fact, he had to get off. He almost hit a car in front of him. He's several cars in front of me now. And he jerked that thing off the exit, and it went sideways. And then the other day I was going home, and I called my wife about this one, that I saw a wreck just going home. I have excitement just going home. And this car was getting off the exit, and man, all of a sudden now it got off the exit. He got off the exit way too fast. He must have been going 60 or 70 miles an hour getting off the exit. That's not smart in any country. He got off the exit, lost control of that, ran up the side of the bank, came down, spun around, and then he stopped. Well, he should have never started, if you ask me. But he stopped just like that. And he sat there for a good while. I praise God for that. I hope he sat there for days. But you see people in car wrecks. You hear about drug abuse. You hear about alcohol abuse. You hear about suicides. You hear about people that die because of broken hearts. I'm saying this tonight, that the night cometh at death. We don't know when it's going to be death, but we know this. We know that one day you're going to walk your last walk. We know that one day you'll take your last bite of food. We know that one day you'll have your last conversation. One day you'll hold the hand or hold the one in your arms that you love so much that's a loved one. One day you'll sing your last song. One day you'll tell your last joke. One day, if you're a preacher, you'll preach your last sermon. One day you'll lead your last person to Christ. I'm saying this, the night cometh at death. At death. You ought to live your life like it's the last day you'll ever live on the face of this earth. If it was the last day you'd ever live on the face of this earth, would you read your Bible? If it's the last day that you would live on the face of the earth, would you pray and talk to your Heavenly Father? If it's the last day that you would live on the face of the earth, would you pass out a gospel tract to a neighbor, to a friend, or to a stranger? Would you give a soul talk and talk to somebody about God? If it's the last day that you would live on the face of the earth, would you call your mom, would you call your dad and say, I love you? If it's the last day that you live on the face of the earth, would you act like the brat that you're asking and rebel against your parents? If it's the last day that you live on the face of the earth, would you find yourself cheating God and not coming to the house of God because you put yourself up as your own God? What would you do in your life, friend, if it was the last day? If it was the last day that your daddy ever lived, would you treat him the way you treat him? If it was the last day your mama would ever live, would you really treat her the way you're treating her with disrespect? Would you really do that? If it's the last day that you would ever live as a young person, would you talk bad about your parents like you just did this week? I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that the Bible teaches that there's going to come a day when the night cometh. The night cometh at the deliverance of the saints. It's called the rapture. The night cometh at death. Statement number three. The night cometh at the decaying of our bodies. The night cometh at the decaying of our bodies. My friend, Chairman of the Deacons, Travis Yao is not in church today. He's helping his brother be able to put in some plumbing. And he pulled his back out. Painful, hurting. Well, you say, well, would that have hurt him if he did that when he was in his 20s? Maybe not. The older we get, you will come to find this out. You will come to find this out. That the older you get, you may think that you're still 40. You may think that you're still 50. But if you're living in a body that's 110, it might take you longer to get up out of a chair. If you're living in a body that's 95, it might take you longer to get to the car. Matter of fact, you may forget where the car is. You're living and perhaps you don't even have your own teeth. Maybe you have to have glasses that are thick. Maybe you have to take medicine to remember. Maybe you have forgotten some things. By the way, I'm not poking fun. Everybody will get there. Everybody will. There's going to come a day when the night cometh at the decaying of our bodies. There's going to come a day. I never thought I'd see the day when I'd have to wear glasses. Matter of fact, I don't like wearing glasses. I don't. I just don't like it. I don't care for it at all. I don't care for it, not one bit. I don't like it. I put them on the read because if I can't put them on to read, then I can't read. But I take them off to see you, because if I keep them on to read, I can't see you. But I don't like that. I just don't like that. But may I say this? Here's what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 1. It says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, it says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen to it. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day, it says, when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out, the windows be darkened, and the doors they're shut in the street, and the sound of the grinding is low, and shall rise up the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. The evil days, that's closer to death. The Bible says there's no pleasure in them. There's pleasure in surviving, but there's not much pleasure. You lose some of the pleasure. The eyes, the Bible talks about in verse 2. It's hard to see. The keepers of the house, that's the muscles that do tremble. Sometimes when you stand up, the muscles may tremble. You become bowed down, talking about a person being bent over. Many times an older person finds himself more bent over than they did in their youth. The grinder shall cease, that's the teeth. Bible says, because they are few. And then it talks about in verse 4, how the hearing, there will be trouble hearing. Things are low. You have trouble hearing. You might have had trouble hearing Little Brooklyn just now. But you have trouble hearing. Now, wait a minute, watch this, okay? So the night cometh at the deliverance of the saints. That's called the rapture. The night cometh at death. The night cometh at the decaying of the body. Then let me give you something lastly. The Bible says, and think about this, the night cometh at the destruction of our nation. We're seeing more of this as time goes by. I used this verse this morning. I'll use it again. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. The Bible says, righteous exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12. The Bible says, yea, it says, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, may I say, the night cometh at the destruction of our nation. I never thought in my lifetime, never thought that our nation would be laughed at by other nations like it is. I never thought that. Other nations now look at our nation and laugh at us because they said it's foolish for a person to believe that they could change their sex. It goes against science. And other intelligent nations are looking at us right now, and we're the laughing stock of other nations. As we make decisions in our nation to say, you can't call somebody Mr. anymore, and you can't call Mrs. anymore, because after all, it is offensive. They laugh at us. As we allow in our nation people, if you would please, of the same sex to be able to marry, we're the laughing stock of the world. Now, may I say, the destruction of the nation. There may be a day, maybe, not now, thank God. And by the way, I, for one, is very proud of all the decisions thus far for religious liberty that the Supreme Court justices are making. Amen. I pray for their safety. I pray for their protection. Amen. But I'm very proud of those that have made right decisions. I said this morning, I will proudly say publicly again, I will not back down from it. I'm glad that they made the abortion wrong decision of 1973 right. Amen. I'm glad they did that. I'm glad that they stopped the butchering of the babies. Amen. Babies have a right to vote. Babies have a right to be able to choose. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? They'll look at a 2- and 3-year-old and say that they have enough intelligence to be able to make their mind up whether they're a boy or a girl. But yet they would butcher a child. Doesn't make any sense to me. But there may come a day when we as preachers go against the law to preach Christian values. There may come a day. There may come a day when we cannot go soul winning like we do. There may come a day. There may come a day when we have to shut buses down, or so they would tell us so. There may come a day when preaching the gospel, the way we preach the gospel, they would look at it and say, that's not correct. You have to be loving to all mankind and everybody agree. There may come a day when it may become illegal for you to have a Bible in your house. There may come a day. There may come a day when the preachers and politicians are not permitted in public to speak the name of God or the name of Christ. But right now, it's not. Right now, we have preachers, and right now, we have politicians. God bless their hearts. We have leaders around our nation that are standing up for God and truth, I think, in a great way. Now, may I say, I hope it always continues. But there may come a day when the night cometh when our nation suffers destruction. Now, may I say, we ought to live for God. Look at that verse as I bring it to a close. I'm going to show you something tonight, then we'll have an invitation. The Bible says in this verse again, we're in the book of John chapter 9 and verse 4. We'll finish where we started, where the Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, while it is day. As I lay in the hospital with double pneumonia, this was my cry. I said, dear God, if you'll give me more days of my life, I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better daddy, a better granddaddy. I said, God, if you'll give me more days of my life, I'll be a better preacher, a better soul winner. God, if you'll give me more days of my life, and I've proven to you that I do my very best, but I will do better. I will do better. I'll be a better pastor. I'll be a better counselor. God, if you just add days to my life and help me to get out of here and help me to retain my health, get good health and retain it, God, I'll do better with the latter years, more better than I did with the former. Now, by the way, listen to me. There will come a day when the night cometh. We don't know when that is. You know, I preach the funerals. I'm not trying to belabor the point, but I remember preaching a funeral for, and some of you were here when I did this, when I preached the funeral for two little babies. Some of you remember that. We put them in the ground. Some of you remember I preached a funeral for many, many older people that's in our church. I remember helping to assist in a funeral in Brooklyn, New York. We had young people. There was seven of them laying in coffins right in the front. And I assisted in that funeral as all of them died in a tragic fire, all ages. I remember a young man dying of a heart attack now, at age 16 and a half. When I was the youth pastor at Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he ran track and field and dropped dead of a heart attack on the practice field. I remember a young man in our church up in New York. We told him over and over, don't keep gambling. It's not right. Now you stop it. You stop it now. You stop it. He lost his life for 25 cents as they stabbed him 9 times in the chest because he owed 25 cents and they stabbed him at his apartment door over 25 cents, and he died. I don't know, and I know some of those were foolish decisions that people made. I know that. I was in high school, and I had a friend of mine that had leukemia. I'd go by his house, and I'd visit with him. I had the privilege of talking with him about Christ after I received Christ as Savior, but he died of leukemia and not made it through his senior year. And he died. I remember one in my class, in my high school class, that hung himself in a barn and killed himself, tragically. A year and a half later, his brother got depressed, and he went out in the same place, hung himself in the same barn. Tragic death. I hope that nobody in here would ever consider such. But can I tell you, there's been a lot of death that I've seen in my life. A lot of close-up stuff that I've seen in my life. Death does come. It does come. It does come. It comes to the young. It comes to the old. It comes because of foolish decisions. Or it comes, if you would please, because a person contracts some other type of disease or something. But can I say, we don't know. We just don't know. And so since we don't know, we ought to give it our very best. We ought to listen to the very voice of God and let God speak to our hearts. I'm going to do something tonight I've never done before. But I've got a video I want you to watch, and I want you to listen to it. Lacey Palmore texted me today at 12:37 or so, and she said, "Preacher, this is a wonderful video. You ought to watch it." Well, I don't watch hardly anything on Sunday. I go and go and go. Then all of a sudden, about 4:30 or so, Brother Palmore texted me and he said, "Man, this is a neat video. You ought to watch it." And I thought, well, you know, that's kind of weird. Two people texted me and they did not conspire one with the other. And I thought, well, that's pretty neat. I want you to watch this and I want you to listen to it. Now, I've never done this before, but then I'm going to come back up and we're going to have an invitation tonight about listening to God and letting God speak to your heart. Now, why? Because the night cometh. The night cometh. Watch this.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, "Listen, I can save you money." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket." And this did not sound, I said, "Gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me." He said, no, 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 you got to do it, you got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you. Now we're in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we gonna do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you. Because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned and he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's gonna take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it, but listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices and everybody in this world wants to talk to you and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm gonna line you up. He said, I'm gonna bring you in right down the runway And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.